The following program is a paid advertisement. The views expressed are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers of Walnut Media.
Good evening. Welcome to Trauma Talk. I'm Sean.
This is Frank.
Well, I guess we got to switch gears because we were having a conversation about Chaz Bono, but I think, she's lost a lot of weight. She looks good. So tonight, we're going to talk about what 159,000 other people are talking about right at this moment. We're going to start off with the young lady that sliced the boy a couple days ago, cut him. Terrible, terrible tragedy in so many different ways. Kind of culminates a lot of what we talk about and what we're trying to do with Trauma House of Healing, right, Frank?
Right, trauma.
Yeah, dual trauma. Get to people, and some people, obviously, this situation, I think she was a little past the level where we could have helped her lead a normal life, but certainly under the correct supervision and stuff, she could have not harmed somebody else.
That's right, the system just like...
Yeah, failed.
Failed. Because like, you got to realize somebody like that has...
Broken.
Complex trauma and the mental illness.
Right.
So started way when she was young. When I heard it, my daughter came in and told me about it, right? So I didn't see it till the next day. I was looking like the system totally failed.
Well,
like I was telling you, I've been doing this for 20 plus years. There's like about 7 times I reported to like a judge or somebody, come get this person. You know what? They're not safe to be out in public.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, being a professional, that's what you must do. I think a lot of times you don't have the experience. You're afraid to say that because you're like, oh, I'm not qualified to say that. Well, if I'm interacting with you on a constant basis and you're giving all these indications that you're just a violent person and you have this mental illness, you're not safe to walk the...
Schizophrenia?
You're not safe to walk the streets. You're not safe to be out in public because your mind is telling you to do things to harm people. You know?
Well, I mean, and what was our first indication? I mean, God bless Father Zierlein. I mean, he was almost in tears about her passing because it was preventable. Look at the trauma that family's going to have to go through, the family of that child. Look at the trauma that child's going to have to go through. Although he was, if I ever saw a kid that was well-adjusted as far as kind of brushing stuff off, he certainly seemed like he was that way, but... Still, you don't know the long-term effects on that whole family, and it was all preventable. I was just looking at Thank You Channel 7 all these guys did great coverage on this, obviously, but, Father Zierlein from St. Francis Cabrini talked about when she cut her dad years before and
to set him on fire.
Yeah, so Father Zierlein, he said, who are you? And she said, well, who are you? And Father Zierlein recalled when Guzman broke into the rectory, and he said, well, I live here. And she said, well, I'm going to do terrible things here.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, she used anything she could find in the home to barricade herself inside to keep the police from getting to her. And Father Zierlein specifically remembered her strength, you know, and that's something we see a lot, isn't it, Frank, with people that are struggling with mental health and
mental illness,
schizophrenia. Yeah. And
incredible strength.
Yes.
Due to being so manic and just unbelievable strength.
Yeah, Father Zierlein said he couldn't believe she got in the room, you know, and...
said something about...
It was a deadbolt.
Bit a deadbolt lock.
Yeah, yeah, there was a deadbolt in it, and... She shattered the door frame and bent the deadbolt.
Mm-hmm. And set the church on fire.
At least the rectory. I mean, I don't know. If it was the whole church, it wouldn't be there anymore.
Well, I'm just saying. But the thing is, what got me is like they declared her insane in 2024.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 2024, they declared her insane, right?
Yeah.
So how do you get declared insane and not sent to the regional center?
Right. I mean...
Because she wasn't fit for mental health court.
Well, and...
She doesn't have the capacity. They don't have the ability to... I mean, I've met people that have been on mental health court. I mean, severely, like with the schizophrenia deal, I've met like a few of them, right? So you're supposed to take your medications, meet with this young case manager and all that. You know what they end up doing?
The Thorazine shuffle.
No, they end up skipping out. They end up skipping out and being gone.
Well,
back to being homeless.
I'm saying if
the
there
streets.
Is ever a case that could be said for somebody that, you know, you have to keep them sedated, that might be one of those cases, you know? I mean, and again, God bless Father Zerline. He says, the priest said he noticed she was suffering from a mental illness and remember she was evaluated after the break-in. And he also goes on to talk about programs like Community Alliance and stuff like that, you know, that are out there. However, they have rules, for one, and nobody wants to follow rules. That's, you know, kind of a common
thing. What they do with them
theme.
When they don't follow the rules?
Kick them out,
yep.
Back on the street.
Back on the street.
Right.
Yep.
So make it the public's problem again, right?
Well, they're just out there on the street.
We don't want to deal with it. You go back. I have a very close family friend that really was like a member of my own, was like a father to me, and he had a son. He has a son. Had a son. He's passed, the father. Anyway, he would call. He was on the Board of Mental Health, and he would call on a regular basis when his son was struggling. And all they would do, the worst case scenario is they'd lock him up for a couple days in jail, which has become the new mental health care facility, and then just release him back out on the streets. Nothing he could do. He'll go to gas stations, start harassing customers and stuff, you know, just craziness. And there's just no solution for it. I mean, look down Keystone Trail, right?
There's no set.
Keystone Trail where people are living down
there,
right?
They're camped down there. I know a lot of them
down there.
How many
people you think are living down there?
Not many. I know a lot of them down there.
Right. Yeah. When we took a walk down the Keystone Trail, everybody's like, "Oh, hey, Frank, how you doing?"
You know, I live on 10th and Jones, right?
Yeah.
And so, in the apartments down there.
Apartment what, Frank? No, I'm kidding. No, don't tell us that you would.
I live in an apartment down there.
You do that gangster line again?
Yeah.
He's gonna go gangster on you.
Yeah, the cheapest one that I can stay in down there because it's pretty expensive, right? And so every time I come out with my dog, I go out to where the dumpster's at, right?
Right.
I walk out the back. There's always homeless people standing back there. Out there four or five times.
Somebody pops their head out.
I remember
dumpster.
You. Yeah. You're Frank. Yeah. I just walked out the other day. There was a dude with a shopping cart standing out there. He's out there talking to himself. It don't bother me. I'm used to that. I'm like,
did you give him a dream pillow?
No, I didn't give him no dream pillow, man. To help him sleep at night? No. Do some sound therapy with him? No,
God,
no.
No,
but anyway, I walk out there, right?
Yeah.
I don't recognize the dude. He said, "I know you. You're Frank." I'm like, man, you just snapped out of where you was at to tell me that you know me. And we had a conversation.
Right.
You know, and then he went back to doing what he's doing, talking to the voices in his
Now, this is
head.
How, you know, for those who don't know Frank, you know, he's a great guy. Man, I'm so privileged.
I think we should call him Frankster.
Yeah.
He does gangster. All the time. He does all the time.
Yeah,
he does all the time.
There had to be a word mashup on that.
He calls me, we talk every day, and I'll answer the phone, Franklin. What's
Franklin,
going on?
Yeah,
it's Franklin.
Yeah. Franklin. Yeah, Franklin, yeah.
So,
what up, Frankster?
Yeah.
The Frankster. Well, you know, and I wanted to say this truly, like, I'm so privileged to have you as a brother and a friend, and I'm so grateful we've known each other for 30 years.
Right.
And really, when I say gangster, Frank is the OG of trauma therapy, really, and that is a fact.
Why don't you say, like, when it comes to doing therapy, just
gangster.
Period. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
but you don't. But yeah, it's really, you are the original gangster of therapy, Frank, trauma therapy. Also, if you guys want to call in, our number is 402-344-0660. Again, that's 402-344-0660. You know what I found the most disturbing about this whole deal with this stabbing and stuff was just people like nothing better than to show their ignorance sometimes in the things that they say. There were comments from, you know, okay, you know, who was the judge and this and that. I get that, you know. I mean, who does make that? But on the Board of Mental Health, see, people don't understand. It's not just the judge. It's an entire board that makes that decision.
I've done them before. So this board, you get all this information together. You write the stuff out, and you go give it to these board of professionals, right? And then they make the decision whether to pick this person up or not.
Right.
They might say no. There's some people that I know that I've written on that these characters should have been never see the light of day.
Right.
But they just, oh, there's not enough information, so we can't pick them up. I'm like, what the heck do you need?
Well, and I don't know who tracked down her boyfriend. I mean, because I would really love to go with a knife-wielding chick, you know, that burns down churches. I felt like I was.
You have a type, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. I was listening to a scene from The Omen, you know, like when I was reading that about the church. I'll do terrible things. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
And she wasn't joking.
No.
That's what we talk about, spirits and all the things that were within her head saying.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, there's some schizophrenics I talked to. They're not as, like, dangerous as that. But these voices they have that going on within their head talking about themselves, or if they're with an intimate relationship, what they should do to their partner, how they should attack their partner. But these voices, right, it's not them, right, but it's just these voices. You know?
Sounds demonic to me.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, so back to her boyfriend, now that we've established that he's probably a very well-grounded individual. And I believe his name was Carlos. And he didn't want to show his face on camera, but it was so funny because he had his full arm attached on the camera, and they didn't do any voiceover. So anybody who had any inclination of who Carlos was, it wasn't hiding it very well. So I'm not quite sure what the purpose was.
Just imagine how toxic that relationship was.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and he talked about how he tried to get her help a week before, that he, you know, she refused to go to the hospital. He tried to get her, you know, her shot was coming up and all this stuff, you know. It was just a matter of moments, but you know, these are moments that that we can't afford, you know, to take with people who are that volatile. I mean, when you have a case history like that, oh my gosh, you know, that reminds me of.
You know, there's more than one out there, right?
Huh? Oh, all the time. Countless. We're hearing these stories all the time, Frank.
No, I'm talking about when I see people and I know them, how they are and how dangerous they can be. They'll just be out there just walking down the street.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know. A couple stories about that. One is a couple football players, and I won't name, but I won't give my name. But I remember when I lived in Lincoln, I was at Super Saver one night, and there was this big, big running back that was having problems, and he had been he was supposed to be taking his lithium and stuff, and he was being watched by one of the players who happened to be a quarterback, and I ran into him and knew the quarterback because they used to go to our parties that we had, of course, why not, right? Down on Charleston, Little Russia. And so he was looking at me terrified. And this is before the big man came around the corner, right? And I go, what's wrong, bro? And then the big man came around the corner with his eyes all wide. And he goes, man, I don't know why they got me watching him. I can't handle him. He's talking to demons and stuff. He had gone off his lithium. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it was a day or two later, he attacked somebody and it was a terrible deal. And, you know, this is mental health. You know,
where he beat the dog up.
I read
the report. I read it in the news. I don't know. I'm not saying anything. But the thing is, what I'm getting at is that I've been in situations with like that with people. The only thing you can do is pray and talk.
Right.
Nothing else. I mean, to where I'm sitting there, and after being down there that late at night, you know what I did?
What?
Because this dude said, my righteousness class was your righteousness. I'm in the back.
Right.
8 o'clock at night talking to this dude, right? My righteousness going class with your righteousness. And he starts talking about the Silver Surfer and stuff like that.
Ooh.
I'm looking around the room like, what am I going to hit this dude with? A lamp?
Right.
I'm going to grab some of my desk and smack him in the head. After that, I put something underneath my desk when I'm down there late at night, because that's when that one doctor got killed up in, I can't remember, the regional center, right?
Right, right.
I was like, I'm not going out like that. But when you're talking about that, the friend's house, those were the type of people that were down there.
Right.
Some women wouldn't work, therapists wouldn't work at night just because of that, because they were afraid for what might happen.
Their life?
Yeah. And at that time, I was lifting weights. I was probably benching like 315, so I was pretty good size.
About 450 on a bad day.
No, but I was pretty good size, so I didn't look like I was weak.
Right.
Now, if I looked like I was weak, then here it begins to come. You know what I'm saying? But that's a lot of prayer. And a lot of talking. I talked to that dude for like an hour. Then finally he got up and left.
That's a lot of spiritual warfare, you know what I mean? But see, that's why you're a gangster, bro, because you talked him down.
That's experience.
Yeah, right.
You know?
I would have been, you know.
But see,
how we handle things.
Remember, I told you what the failure in the system is, right? They're trying to save money.
Right.
So they're going after people that are freshly out of school.
Well,
and so they got the education, but they got this lack of experience dealing with these individuals.
and there are not beds available.
Yeah, yeah.
As they're reducing the, and somebody did make that comment too, and I'm sure they're listening. And you know, it was a great great comment about how we're spending less money on less beds, but we're expecting more results.
Yeah,
that's just craziness, you know. And yeah, it kind of reminded me. I'm only going to go to, well, there's a couple other incidents. I know there was a male who beat his grandma and great grandmother to death with a hammer. He was mentally ill and was at the center.
Oh, the doctor.
Yeah, long history of mental health. They let him out. Bam. No, that was another one. He did that one, the deacon at the Catholic Church. He went and killed his foster dad or adopted dad and dismembered his body.
See, but the thing is, when you have mental illness, you include drugs in that.
Yeah.
It gets pretty. I was dealing with, I'm not even gonna say what I was dealing with somebody in my family, right? They're on drugs. I put them out, right? They come back to my house with a pipe. That's when I had that metal door on my front of my house, and he's out there with my grandkids. So I'm like, now I gotta get them kids in here. So I open the door, and this dude's trying to come in. He's trying to come in with the metal pipe, right? But I got my 75-pound
dog,
American bully, behind me. And she don't like nobody messing with me and Brenda.
Right.
That dog took out that door, knocked him down, was trying to kill him.
We're
so
not.
I pulled the dog off of him, right?
Right.
That's what he does.
What?
He kicks me in the head, and I go, knocked out, right?
That's what happened.
Yeah. So, but my other daughter's there, right?
Right.
He's like, oh, my dad, oh. And it snapped him out of it. But you're talking about the combination of mental illness and drugs.
Right.
It's pretty dangerous.
Well, and even
he could stop me on the front porch. Well, I don't think the dog would have let him, but.
And thank God you're here, Frank. I mean, I thank God that wasn't worse, right? You know, and there are a lot of people that aren't severely mentally ill, but are after their drug abuse. They never come back. You know what I mean? They just.
Recently, I had a kid come see me, right?
Yeah.
Highly intelligent. He's smoking weed like a train going west.
Like a from puffer.
Puffer from stuff off the street.
Right.
It triggered him into schizophrenia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Parents didn't know what's going on. They took him to the hospital, right? I sent a message saying, hey, I'm not going to see him today. They told me he's been back in the hospital since Sunday, right? But I knew when I met him, he was still stuck in a schizophrenic state, and the hospital had let him out. I could tell just by his eyes and how he was talking. You need to be back in the hospital. So you put him back in the hospital right now because he's smoking all this weed. God knows what was in it.
Right.
He's stuck in a schizophrenic state right now.
Yeah. It may not come out.
And may not come out.
Right. You know, another high-profile situation that happened. Now, first of all, too, before I get to this scenario, I want to talk just for a minute about what a great job the officers did in this particular situation. With just seconds to react and to know what to do. And I can only imagine the trauma that the officer that had to shoot her is going through also. Nobody thinks about that, what they go through afterwards after, you know, they shoot someone. And yes, it just because it was the right thing to do in that moment doesn't mean it doesn't affect them.
Yeah, it affects you. It affects you.
So God bless them, and you know, and just thanks to them for saving a life, and it sucks that it had to go down like that because you know, it's
but it's due to the failure of the system.
And how many people in that parking lot saw that too?
Oh,
to have to deal with that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, so it also reminds me of a situation that probably wasn't handled very well. By officers on the flip side, which shows how far they've come, too. So on the 17th, when Zach Bareheels was punched in the head 13 times and tased about 12 to the point where he died due to police intervention, tased 12 times, punched in the head 13. Video showed police cruisers. From police cruiser showed the officers dragging him by his hair. Bareheels stopped breathing and lost his pulse while being handcuffed to a gurney. He was later pronounced dead. Autopsy attributed his death to excited delirium, a controversial diagnosis often cited in police-related deaths. So another situation where the guy had schizophrenia and bipolar. He'd been kicked off a bus while going from South Dakota to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, I mean, luckily that situation didn't unfold differently, where it was where other people got severely injured. I mean, it's bad enough that the child did, obviously.
Maybe. I'm glad I got a computer, right? I'm just sitting here listening to you talk, right?
Right.
So I type in how many violent schizophrenics are in the Omaha area, right?
Yeah, how many?
Guess what popped up? Local crisis. Dangerously mentally ill reached 1,072 in a recent year, but only 51 were committed.
Wow. Yeah. I'm not going to even... Oh, so earlier, remember how we were talking about the crazy stuff people were saying on the internet?
Oh, my.
And Cam and I were looking at the piece from Tombstone. What was that about, Cam? What'd he say?
What did he say? Well, bye.
Yeah.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
As they're walking, going out of town.
Who does that?
And that was about the gal.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. They were happy that she got killed in the act of what she was doing.
Right.
That's what that response was, yeah.
Yeah, but isn't that crazy? I mean, when you really think about it, that's well by.
It's a dismissal of human life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No matter how messed up she was.
Right.
Still, like, the dismissal completely of a human. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it says a lot about how desensitized we've become as a culture and as a society, to death. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, when we can send precision bombs, I guess, into a country and wipe out thousands of people and
like
no
video
big deal,
game.
You know,
like
I mean,
video game. Yeah.
And I'm neither defending or denying the whole situation. I don't know all the facts. I just know that we become very desensitized to life as a whole.
Well, right. We were talking before the show. I saw that still frame on the internet, on Facebook.
Yeah,
it was, CGI. Like, as she has her the knife, and it's from the perspective of the cop's body cam. And I thought it was a
AI.
Yeah.
And
I was like, oh, that's just something. And then I found out today, like literally an hour and a half ago,
that it wasn't a deepfake.
It was not deepfake, and it was here in Omaha. I thought it was just something completely irreverent.
In the Bronx.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Had no idea what it was from. I was like, oh, that happened here?
Right.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen?
And I work in a news, media area.
Right.
I had no idea, so.
It has literally tens of millions of listeners.
I dismissed it so quickly.
How?
Like, oh, that's obviously fake, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So, this kid was only 3 years old. Goodness sakes. How much could he actually process of what was going on really?
Well, when you talk about, like, trauma, right, it's stored in the body. It's not necessarily stored in the brain. It's stored within the body. So when you have certain emotional things happen, it'll re-trigger in the body. So the experience will come
back.
Because, you know, the woman's going to be there with the knife. His face gets slashed, and he's going to hear the gunfire.
Mm-hmm.
What will mimic gunfire as he
ages?
You know, and then I was looking at the report, and it said caretaker. It didn't say mother. It just said caretaker. So what type of situation is this kid already in?
I caught several weird things about that. We'll get into it later.
So is he in the HHS system? I mean, has he already been exposed to...
Well, and
trauma
there were two
as a
sides
child?
Of kids, too. Did you notice that? Yeah, that's.
And just in my past hour and a half of knowing this existed, I did some research, and, you know, the kid, he's in the hospital because he had wounds and stuff. But when there was seven or eight cops in his hospital room, he felt safe.
Wow.
That was the time that he was like, oh, okay, everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
But if there was less than that, or if there was nobody in the room, the trauma is set in for sure. He's kind of messed up for life now.
Yeah.
Which is why before we go to break, I want to emphasize that that's our whole mission is getting to the parents and eventually the children.
When you say safety, what you're talking about, he's emotionally balanced. He's okay.
Right.
But he wasn't okay till the seven or eight cops were in his room where he has
where
this
he
emotional
felt
bounce safe
in that moment.
Yeah, buffer zone.
Yeah.
You know, and Frank, again, isn't that our overall mission is to get to these kids at the moment that they're suffering from these traumas and to be able to go there and help them through it so they don't carry this on forever.
Right.
So But we'll go to break, and we're going to talk about a different kind of trauma in the second half.
Smiles politely back at you. You stare politely right on through. Some sort of window to your right. She goes left and you stay right. Swing the lines, fear and blame. You begin to wonder why you came. Where did I go wrong? I lost a friend somewhere along in the bitterness. And I put out, stayed up with you all night. Had I known how to save a life.
Imports since 1990. The place to find your next car or truck. 12 months, no interest financing. Cars and trucks to meet all your needs from $1,500 to $20,000. Two locations to serve you at 8825 Maple Street and 136th and Millard Ave. Call for more info, 402-390-0500. Sports and Imports.
When you team up with teammates, 1 hour a week is all it takes to encourage a student to win in school and in life. Be the teammate every young person deserves. The clock is ticking. Sign up at teammates.org today. Join the team. Be a mentor.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Annie's first oil change wasn't as hard as she thought because she went to AutoZone, where a friendly AutoZoner helped her find the right oil and save on an oil filter. He explained the job and showed her free how-tos on AutoZone.com. When she was done, AutoZone recycled her old oil for free. No hassles, just help. Everything you need, nothing you don't.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Veterans and active duty service members, when your call to service ends, your mission doesn't have to. Go from GI to IT in just a few months at My Computer Career. Prepare for a high-demand career in cybersecurity, protecting people, systems, and institutions from real cyber threats. Cyber warriors are needed now. Will you answer the call? Go to mycomputercareer.edu/CWP to learn more. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner. VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
The Focus on the Family store brings a new level of trust to online shopping by giving you a focused look at Christian resources. Our digital exclusives, first releases, and best-selling family resources are carefully selected, ensuring that everything in our store is theologically sound. We're 100% invested in family ministry, and so is your online purchase. When you shop with us, marriages, parents, and families thrive. You can learn more at focusonthefamily.com/store.
Here's your updated Omaha area forecast on KCRO. Lows dip down to about 35 tonight under partly cloudy skies, northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Highs around 57 tomorrow. Lows level off around 36 tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Bright sunshine and dry Sunday and Monday, mid-60s, Sunday, mid-70s by Monday. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley on KCRO. Right now, 52.
Welcome back. I'm Sean.
I'm Frank.
I'm Cam.
What's up, Cam?
Sorry, I had to jump in. I'm sorry.
Oh, my one headphone was like backwards. So I was like, what am I going to do? Like,
gave me just enough time to introduce myself.
Yeah. Yeah, we're so grateful for Cam, too, because he does a great job. And he's become part of the team, you know. And
I weasel my way in real easily.
Yeah. You do a great job, Cam. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, our calling number is 402-344-0660. Also, we're online. If you need to reach out and need some help, traumahouseofhealing@gmail.com. That's trauma, T-R-A-U-M-A, houseofhealing@gmail.com. And, yeah, just reach out to us, and we'd be happy. We have a couple milestones I want to talk about before we get to our next segment. Frank and I are getting ready to open up our first transitional house here in a couple weeks.
You know what makes it, and the thing is, I do my research. I've been doing it for a long time. Matter of fact,
OG.
In the early 2000s, like 99, 2000, I was one of the first people to open a transitional house.
Right.
But because the market became so saturated, and I'm not too good talking with probation officers. That's why the marketing expert is next with me now. But
I don't know about it.
I had had a problem with
Cam. I'm glad you're here.
Had my problem with communicating with them, right? So they kind of X me out. And I just shut my house down. I could go another route, right? So I took a break from that for like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. And so there are 50 transitional houses in Omaha, Nebraska. But guess what?
How many of them have programming?
They're supposed to have programming. But guess what?
What?
We will be the only transitional house that is evidence-based, and we'll be using restorative practices to bring people and connect within themselves so they can be better as they go on in life. That is so rare. I mean, we just have told a few officers about what we're doing. They are so excited about it. Because right now, it's almost like if you look at transitional house, it's an extension of the correctional system, of the rules and stuff like that. So all that breeds is like old patterns of thinking and old ways of reacting to the world. We're
resistance,
trying to change that.
Yeah, resistance. It really focuses on whether the parents are still together or not. We want to work on that transition as also the family unit, you know, and helping the kids get through that transition of having mom and dad back or, you know, whatever they went through to get into the position that they're in to work with the kids through that. Because as I was talking to one of my friends today who, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of her. If you're listening, you know who you are. She said that she is going to be the rose that comes through the concrete and makes it. And I'm so proud of her because she was talking about, that just totally threw me off, Cam.
The camera?
Yeah. But anyway, she comes from, you know, a family that has had generational issues and that always makes me think about how we can get stuck in those ways of thinking,
but
you know.
Generational trauma is transferred in our DNA, so it's a repetitive type of thing that happens because of our it's built into our system.
Well, and she even has a relative that is claims to be a minister, and he helps, and he does do some things. You know, he does some good things, but then he also has a son that's out there using because he has, without even realizing it, made it cool. You know, like his past behavior. You know what I mean?
He's right. I was a gangster. Yeah,
glorified his past behaviors. You know what I mean? If you know, just all that stuff. That pride thing that now he's trying to figure out, well, why is he doing this? Well, because he thinks he's cool because you thought you were cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we do that. I'm not picking on him. I'm saying we all do that to some degree.
But that's that generational type trauma.
It's
already built in.
Right.
It's just like with my offspring, I'm an addict, alcoholic. I'll be like, don't pick up.
Right.
My grandfather was an alcoholic. My dad was a straight dope fiend, a cocaine addict. So guess what happens? My brother's like a crack addict. He's in recovery now, but guess what I was? I was an alcoholic.
Right.
It's in our DNA. If we pick up, guess what? It's like, oh, this is natural. This is
and that was
good.
A functional whatever I can get my hands on. Like, when, you know,
a,
I mean,
you just
know.
Say he was a dope fiend.
Yeah.
It's okay.
You know what I used
You're
to.
You're not that anymore.
Yo, do you know what I used to try to figure out? I used to try to figure out if I was like, because, you know, I thought I had to have a title back then, you know, in order to go to a meeting or something. You know, you had to be an alcoholic, tell everybody who you were. I was like, am I an alcoholic just to like get to the cocaine or am I a drug addict? You know, like, am I just drinking so I can get to the coke or am I coking so I can keep drinking? I'm not sure which one of these
I am.
Does
that sound insane? Does that sound insane?
Right. Yeah. That's totally insane. Yeah. But there was a pattern, definitely, you know. And you know what the other thing is and we try to whether we're celebrating a moment or we're traumatized over a moment, the end result is the same. I've got to go have a drink over this deal. I just got a raise, got to have a drink. Oh, my brother just died, got to go have a drink. You know what I mean? Everything. And it's funny because in American culture, we've kind of built it that way. Every holiday has become a drinking holiday now, hasn't it? It used to be a family holiday, right? People get together and they celebrate. Now it's who's bringing the keg, you know, or who's bringing
Day,
the
Halloween.
Yeah, cooler.
Christening, birthdays. What about just the sun comes up and it's a new day?
Right.
I'm going to go get one.
Yeah, look at that beautiful sunrise.
I think Flag Day is the only one left.
Yeah.
We celebrate Flag Day.
Should we make that a sobriety day, Flag Day?
There you go, yeah.
National Sobriety Day, Flag Day. We can't use Columbus Day because he was a dirty, rotten pig, as we know now. what are we going to do?
They didn't teach us that in schools.
Yeah.
Yeah, we found out later.
Yeah. Yeah. Been celebrating this guy. So we're going to talk about a little different kind of craziness and insanity. I think, you know, Frank, I think a lot of people probably thought Jesus was pretty crazy.
You think?
Yeah. You know, I mean, this guy's walking up to temples and kicking over the money changers and stuff and saying, you're making my father's house a den of thieves. I mean, they're like, Father, what? Your dad built this church?
Didn't take a whip to him, too, on top of that? Like,
I don't know if he cracked the whip.
No,
Frank.
But I'm just saying he was going off.
Frank's trauma's coming out from his youth.
I was just reading the violent actions, overturned tables. He had to do more than overturn. He had to do more than overturn tables. Was like, you know, setting pigeons free, or what was the heck was?
I don't know if there's any whip cracking going on. You can look that up, but I don't know, Frank. So, but definitely, Cam gave us the no more whip talk thing.
No, I'm not touching. I had a joke.
Yeah, you're out on that.
I looked at this one right. I just googled it right. It says shocking teachings. He used disturbing metaphors such as telling followers they must eat his body and drink his blood.
Well, and I mean, in a literal, from a literal standpoint, that would be a little crazy, wouldn't it? I mean, if you're like, here, take a chunk out of my arm if you want to live forever, you know.
I mean, the followers understood, right?
The metaphoric value.
Yeah, they understood who he was and what he was saying. But if you take somebody outside of that and they hear that, they're like,
right.
What is this guy talking about?
Yeah, the simile or the metaphor.
Yeah, drink my blood. Have you seen those blood drinkers, by the way? They do those shows on them, and they're like, I think I'm a vampire for real.
Like the people that eat toilet paper?
Yeah.
My strange addiction.
Do they really just want to get on TV, or do you think they really do those things?
I don't know. I imagine they eat toilet paper.
I'm up 50-50 on it. I'll eat some toilet paper to be on TV, I think is what they say.
15 minutes of fame, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do what you got
to
do.
And then they go back to being normal. I remember one HBO special back in the day where a guy married his Shetland pony. I love Shirley. I was like, oh, whoa. Man, what is this world coming to?
Yeah.
Anyway, Jesus never did anything like that. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Anyway.
Laughing off death threats and speaking directly to demons.
Oh, right, yeah. Attacking demons and sending them into... And you could see where the people were terrified. Look, let's go to that instance where we've talked about it before on the show, but when that man came out of the tomb and he put the 2,000 demons into the hogs, and there was lots of reasons for that, that the demons that were legion asked to be thrown into the hogs because they were unclean. Pigs were considered unclean by the Jewish population, culture at the time. But not in that community. Do you know what it also did? Was it destroyed that community's entire flock.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
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 So imagine the fear and them thinking, oh, my God, that dude is crazy. He just sent all
2,000 pigs over the...
Our entire food for the next year just went down the ocean.
Wait, imagine 2,000.
Yeah.
Just like... He gives a command, and he go jump off the cliff.
That's a lot of starvation probably in that community. I don't know.
But that'd be so. Like when you talk about like miracles today, was it Lady Fatima or whatever?
Fatima,
right?
Yeah. You know, do you know what her greatest miracle of that situation was? First of all, everybody thought, you know, there were these secrets that they were holding back, you know, that for certain time periods that. That the Pope couldn't release until these, you know, certain events took place and certain years came. Well, one of those they thought was going to be the end of the world, right? And when it was opened, it was actually talking about the assassination attempt on John Paul II.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which kind of tells what a monumental event that was. You know what I mean? John Paul II, to many, is one of the greatest popes ever. And, so one of the greatest miracles of that event was... that thousands of people were there, and it was rainy and muddy, and they were in mud up to their knees, and the sun actually came down and spun before them and then went back to its position, and they were all dried off.
That would freak me out.
Different colors, and just came down right before them.
I'd be so scared.
Or in awe.
I think scared because something...
Maybe initial fear, but then in awe once it all went back to normal. Yeah, like, what a miracle.
It went back to normal, but on top of the experience. Yeah. Like,
do Would you have had to counsel them?
What? I'd have to counsel my, get my own head together.
Before you counseled them. Before you counseled them, we got to, yeah. So I think the world's insanity versus Christ's insanity is probably really different, huh? Because even in that Guzman situation, for one, when she's gone, he's going to see that young lady for what God intended her to mm-hmm. be,
yeah.
not to what she be, not for what she became in this world mm-hmm. with mental illness and everything else. So,
but the thing
take is what, a moment just to think that even her, when she's passed, is beautiful
mm-hmm.
in Jesus' eyes.
But the thing you talk about mental illness, the potential that becomes her, whatever she's seen and experienced, prison. That becomes her reality.
Right, in her prison at the same time.
Yeah.
And everybody's summation of her, right. But that's not how Jesus sees it, mm-hmm. because he could have walked by and put his hand on her and she would have been, you know, normal yeah. again and, yeah. and been able to pursue a life with him, which she him. Very likely, in reference to her situation with St. Francis Cabrini, was far from
mm-hmm.
due to her illness.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, nowadays I'm seeing more and more young people with this complex trauma, this mental illness, and the perception of reality is so far off. You know, they have difficulty functioning in our society, in our world.
And
how the world is now.
Right. In our world of false values.
Right.
You have to be this, you have to be that, you got to look like this, you got to look like that. You know, I get caught up in that. And I catch myself making jokes and doing stuff I shouldn't. I'm like, oh my gosh, how can you do that sometimes? You know what I mean?
Because that's going to change, right?
Huh?
That's going to change.
Yeah.
You know why it's going to change?
Hmm.
Like the more people you help and you see their pain and their struggle.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
All that stuff that you're talking
What's
about
behind it, is going to
cease because, like, man, there's something more to this world than what I'm doing. You know, I see this stuff, I just be like, what the heck are people talking about and thinking about? But that's just how the world is.
Right. Well, and, you know, speaking of that, you know, Jesus was considered insane by those who didn't follow him
mm-hmm.
because he didn't adhere to that structure
right.
of false values. And he saw eternity in the big picture,
mm-hmm.
right? So if we take and we've talked about this before, when we begin to take a big picture outlook on life and situations and people and things and stop taking culture's myopic view of reality, then we begin to understand that there's way more to people, than we're willing to give them credit for.
Some people are out there asking, what's the definition of myopic?
Minuscule. Small.
Okay. I know there's something out there. Myopic.
Small.
What's that?
Okay, very small.
Okay.
Very intensely small.
Fair question.
Fair, yeah. Yeah, and those who follow Jesus are also, we're deemed fanatics or insane for trusting God.
Oh, people think me and you crazy.
Yeah, over material security, for giving instead of retaliating and serving instead of taking.
Then people you work with think you're crazy.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
No, they're all rolled up. They're I know where they're at, right?
And so here, my comes, buddy talks
here,
about
here comes you working on these cars, talking about God, talking about trauma. They're like, looking at you, man,
that
there is
lost
something
his mind.
Wrong yeah. with him. There's something.
Boy, he really fell.
And a lot of times, man, that's probably driving a lot of their jealousy or their reaction to you.
Right.
So it's almost like a spiritual warfare. That's what you got to realize. I come there, I'm looking around. The one that, Frank Bailey, how you doing? Like, man, you are higher than Cuda Brown. What are you?
But he's now, trying for to those who don't know, Frank, who would that be?
I'm not the man who does it. But the thing is, but like
fair
when you talk
about,
when you
fair
talk,
question.
About, talk about the whole incident with him with the keys.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
man, what are you?
But I said I wouldn't leave you my children's plastic keys.
But when you're talking about just like who you're trying to be working on becoming,
right?
And you're not acting the way
that wasn't
they
it.
You, but you're not acting the way you used to act, right?
No.
So they got a problem with you, man.
Right.
You're not doing nothing wrong. You're just showing up, breathing, and working.
Well, and again, the forgiving instead of retaliating, you know, it's so easy, you know, and I still get caught in retaliating, you know, like saying stupid things and stuff. But I also think about, boy, I've got to forgive. I've got to let that go. I stop myself somewhere in there. I'm like, man. Ooh, I got
to
stop.
Practice. Dude, I've had people spit on me, try to wreck, tear up my car. Dude, try to tear my car. I was going to tear him a new one, right?
Right.
But Bill Keck stopped me and said, Frank, he's not worth it, and took me to his office and talked to me. I was going
God
outside.
God bless you, Bill.
You know, I was going to go outside and handle him, right?
Handle it.
But the thing is, what I'm talking about is when, the more you begin to practice, the more forgiving you can be.
Well, and now we're about handling things in a different way. Right. That's handling things so that people can be the best version of themselves. As far as that, and as much as that is possible in this world, right? And so, yeah, I was thinking about the other part is serving instead of taking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, when our first thought, you know, the Lord's Prayer was given to us as a symbol of how we should pray, and when and you know, as a foundation of how we should pray. Man, most people have a hard enough time even asking somebody else how they're doing first before they start talking about themselves.
Yeah,
isn't that true? Serving before they're taking, instead of taking.
Nobody
right?
want to be a servant.
Right.
Nobody wants to be a servant now.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, truly being honest about asking, you know what I mean? I really mm-hmm. care about how you're doing. How are you? Are you yeah. okay today? You know, what's going on with you? Before I jump into my life, this, that, blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, by the way, you know, if I even, and then if they even ask, it's, you know. So serving first, that takes a lot of practice.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes that mindset of prayer, you know what I mean? When I continually pray about helping others, about glorifying God first, that gets me into that mindset of thinking about others before I think about myself. Because he's going to take care of all those things, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Even the birds are clothed, right?
Right.
So, anyway, I just, with that, I mean, Cam, did you say we were ready to wrap up? I got 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
Five minutes, not that long.
So, oh, my kids and I like to sing that song from Rent.
What?
300, right? How's that go?
600 minutes. Minutes in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that a great song? I love Broadway,
sure.
by the way. Yeah.
I know it from The Office.
525,600.
That's the only thing I know from.
How often do y'all sing that?
You know, every once in a while, we'll just break out in song
all
about something
them?
That's one of them. No, that, you know.
The boys?
It'll be different. The girls usually get into it, Ellie and Grace. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're more musically inclined right now. Although my other children, my twins had a little program the other day at school, and they rocked it. Mm-hmm. They just, I mean, they were doing their little. I mean, nobody can see that, but they were going
sweet
off.
Sweet moves.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's really cool too, you know. Think about how many things that we could achieve in a year if we broke down the minutes and the amount of time that we waste.
But it's just about being, man.
Yeah.
It's not about the minutes. It's just about being in that moment and living to your fullest potential.
So this is what I would really hope. I hope that everybody give somebody a hug this week. Oh, yeah. There you go, Cam.
Yeah, Seasons of Love. Is
Seasons of Love.
I'm going to have to look at
this is a jam.
My Apple Music, might have to add that.
So listen to her voice well. She's jamming.
In truth that she learned, or in times that he cried, in bridges he burned, or the way that she died.
Amen. Amen, guys. So, till next week, thank you so much for spending time with us. And we look forward to talking to you next week. Next 2 weeks, we have volleyball. I don't know. We're going to try to still find a way to get to you, but dang, listen to that, Cam, huh?
I'm going to look that up.
Love.